Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
From the frozen tundra to your airwaves, it's time for 9 to Noon.
It's John Kuhn and Touchdown Packers.
The ultimate midday hangout for Packers talk, Wisconsin sports, and everything in between. He's a Super Bowl champion.
Underneath Kuhn for the touchdown.
A Green Bay legend.
Look at John Kuhn run for the first down and keep it going. Moving the pile all the way to the six-yard line.
And Lambeau's favorite fullback, John Kuhn. He's bringing the heat, the humor, and just the right amount of chaos. Rami Makhlouf. Together, they're breaking it all down, debating every angle, and having a little fun while doing it. This is 9 to Noon on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
Number two of 9 to Noon as we return here with a very special guest on the Fan Guest Hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. And he is a two-time Pro Bowler, a Super Bowl champion, and played 9 years for your Green Bay Packers. And that is my good friend and ex-teammate, T.J. Lang. Now calls the games for, don't say it, but the Detroit Lions every Sunday, except for this Sunday coming up because they're on a bye. And Tej, thanks for taking a couple minutes to join us on your off week.
Yeah, you got it, man. I'm surprised you're doing the show today. Did you used to play poker with a lot of those NBA guys?
Oh, gosh. See, you can't say that. You can't do that. You can't say that. What do you think about that scandal? Hey, man, this stuff is crazy. They're talking about card dealers that rigged the decks. They're talking about x-ray glasses that could see through cards that they were playing with. I mean, these stories and some of these facts coming out right now are absolutely wild.
That's crazy. I haven't seen any of the details. I know there was supposed to be an announcement, I don't know, maybe about an hour ago. But, yeah, I mean, it was kind of wild this morning. It was like in a sports betting scandal. And obviously we haven't, you know, not the first people to be involved with gambling, unfortunately, with athletes and coaches. But, no, the more details come out, it's like, yeah, poker games, and they were rigging it for themselves and then funneling money to, to other places. I mean, it's crazy to think about, you know, especially some of these guys that have made, you know, millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars. You're just like, my goodness, man, what are we doing? But no, it seems to be getting a little bit wilder, you know, by the minute as details come out. And, you know, it sounds like that. I know, obviously, the two big names with Rozier and with Chauncey Billups, but it sounds like, I mean, it might go deeper than that. There might be some other guys that they just haven't got their hands on yet. But, man, yeah, wild morning to wake up to some of that news.
A little different than our Sheepshead and Bouvray games that we used to take part in on the airplanes and in the hotel rooms, I will say.
I plead the fifth. Sure. I plead the fifth on that.
Smart man.
But the stuff about Terry Rozier is different. The stuff about Terry Rozier is actual stuff that took place during the fixing bets in NBA games. And I said this in hour number one, that sends shockwaves, not just in the NBA, but in all professional sports. It starts to take a hit on credibility. So that is something that we really have to keep. This is different than a lot of the stuff that has come out with some of the former NFL players. I know there was a couple on your team as well, but these are different details here.
Yeah, there is. And even, you know, it's, you never really know like a lot of the true details. And even a couple years ago, I think the Lions did have a couple players, But I think one of them, I mean, Jameson Williams, I think he was just playing like a card game on an app on the phone, like in the facility where, you know, that wasn't a legal activity.
That's a dumb rule.
But it was just like, yeah, if he was in his car a mile down the road, he would be fine. But since he was at the facility, it was, you know, it was stupid, right? But, I mean, it's just some of these stories are just, you hear about guys, and even the Pistons had a guy, Malik Beasley, that, you know, I think that he said it ended up getting cleared from everything. But you talk to some other guys, you know, that kind of know these things, and they're like, man, like, why do guys have to do this? And it's just like, well, you know, some of these guys just get in so deep where it's like you have no choice but to try to dig your way out of it, which is crazy to me, which is crazy. I mean, you used to think it would be bigger before, you know, everything was, like, trackable. Now everything you do, every bet you make, every app you log into is tracked. So it's just some of these people that are still getting caught with this stuff is wild. And you're right, man. When it comes to gambling, you know, on games, I didn't see the details on Rozier, but if he was gambling on his own games and, you know, fixing games or whatever that is, like, that is terrible, man. And you're right. Like, that just brings in another big question about the sports gambling and all these professional you know, leagues that are, you know, enabling it and buying
promoting
into it and making a ton of money from it, you know. So it's just, it seems just like a big mess right now. I don't think it's a huge issue, but there's always going to be, you know, there's always going to be a couple guys that unfortunately are going to be caught up in that. And, you know, it's going to put a black eye on a lot of this.
All right. This weekend, the Packers have a big game. We said the Lions do not play this weekend, but it's a big game on Sunday night, and I'm sure you're going to be watching. You're going to be watching very closely. Do you believe? I'm going to ask it as, you know, objective as possible. Do you believe there's no revenge in this revenge game for Aaron Rodgers?
No, I don't. I don't at all. I don't think there's bad blood, but yeah, anytime you. Like I had it, you know, when I went to, you know, Detroit and John, I'm sure, you know, if you played the Packers when you went to New Orleans, like you don't want to go out for, you know, I wouldn't say revenge, but there's part of you that's like, yeah, I want to kind of make them feel like they missed me a little bit, you know? So no, I don't believe that, you know, there's going to be no motivation on Aaron Rodgers' side or, you know, revenge, so to speak. Like, yeah, anytime you it's like breaking up with a girlfriend, man. You want to show up with another hot chick, you know? It's like, yeah, I want to make you miss me a little bit. So, yeah, that's definitely going to add to the storyline, just with Aaron's career and his everything with the longevity that he had in Green Bay. Of course he's going to be thinking about that.
Tej, I gave every secret there was. I said every audible that I knew. I gave every check, every hand signal. I sat with the defensive coaches. I told them I spilled the beans on everything. I said, what do you want to know? And I'm going to tell you more. I'm going to tell you, you know, and then Aaron got hurt and didn't play in the game. So it was really, you know, kind of clunky in that aspect. I told them about the field. I said, if anybody wears anything but seven studs on Lambeau Field, they're stupid. They're full. I mean, I gave away every secret there was to come back and win. How was it for you with Detroit?
Yeah, same thing. I mean, like, the cleats was a big issue because it was crazy, John. I remember even us playing in Green Bay, we'd be surprised how many teams would come in and be slipping and sliding all over the field. And it's like, you don't check these before the game, right? So, you know, when I was in Detroit, it was, yeah, hey, TJ, can you get up and talk a little bit about it? We still got guys that want to wear the molded or still want to wear the, you know, the 12 studs. Like, hey, talk about the, especially this time of year, what does it feel like, right? So, yeah, you give, you know, obviously you're on a different team, so. But yeah, I remember, you know, one year it was like, you know, hey, Aaron hates this type of rush, you know, when the right defensive end goes inside, and the other defensive end goes really high and wide. And I think we ended up getting, two or three sacks off of it that game. And I'm kind of looking like, yeah, like pumping my fist a little bit, like, yeah, get him, you know? But yeah, it's, when you're competitive, right? Like you obviously, I mean, we wouldn't play as long as we did in the NFL if we didn't, we weren't ultra competitive, but, no doubt. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, you're on a new team and it's like, hey man, I'm in this to win it. And you know, I want to get a little bit of payback and that sort of say, make them miss me a little bit. So yeah, that's part of the game. Everybody knows that.
Okay. This Pittsburgh Steelers team that the Packers are going to face, you guys will see them later in the season. I'm kind of curious on your take with them. Aaron he's actually having himself a pretty damn good season. 14 touchdowns, yeah. 5 interceptions, 1,270 yards, a good completion percentage. It's the defense, though, that I've been looking at, and I've been kind of shaking my head. What kind of danger do they pose for the Green Bay Packers in your eyes?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it all starts with their defense. Obviously, that's what Pittsburgh has been known for forever, right? Just the tough and gritty and pass rushing, tough to run the ball on. But start with Aaron. I think he's just playing efficient football, man. Like, he's kind of adapted to this year, I think, some of the limitations that he has, where last year watching him in New York, I know he got hurt the year before, but, you know, it was still kind of like, hey, buy some time, move around in the pocket, right, get some of these scrambles. And physically, he couldn't do it as much as he was used to. I think he's adapted to that a little bit this year, where, hey, I got to get the ball out a little quicker, or, hey, I got to, you know, maybe hit some hot routes instead of, you know, maybe extending the play and improvising and trying to get some of those deep shots down the field. And he's playing very efficient football. And their defense is, you know, obviously they're tough, man. You know, T.J. Watt, Hayward's still doing it. He's been doing it forever. That other kid they got on the other side, I know Highsmith is kind of the starter, but that her big kid, man, he's got some pass rush ability to him. He's got some stuff and he doesn't look very big, but he's just very quick twitch on the edge. Their defense presents challenge, and anytime you go to Pittsburgh, you know it's going to be a tough place to play. I mean, the Lions just got done, you know, with – I forgot we were in the NFC for a while. I think it was four straight AFC games. But playing a lot of those teams in the north, like, they're kind of built the same way. Tough defense, you know, tough to run the ball on them. And Pittsburgh's going to be no different. But, you know, you look at Green Bay as well, and obviously, you know, the trade that they made with Micah Parsons, man, how big is that paying off? Especially last week, you get in the game against Arizona.
How did you guys think of that in Detroit?
Yeah, I mean, like, I was surprised Dallas moved him at first, you know, because you just don't see it. Like, every year there's rumors about, you know, Max Crosby and Parsons and Trey Hendrickson and, like, these big-time edge rushers, and nothing ever ends up happening. So I was more surprised that Dallas, you know, was offering him up. And not really surprised that it was Green Bay, because even going into the season, you know, my thought on Green Bay was, man, they're going to be that next team that I don't think they're coming out of nowhere, but they're going to be that team to take a step. They've got a lot of young guys on that team. With playoff experience, they understand what it's like to play big-time games in December and January and what it takes, quarterbacks getting better and healthier. So it kind of felt like to me that Green Bay was ready to be a legit contender. And I think that move, you know, solidified the thought that at least the front office had with Goody and those guys and Ed taking over as the new president. You know, that solidified their belief that, yeah, we're ready to do this now. Like, the time is right. Let's get it done. But Micah Parsons is, I mean, the thing that makes him so special, John, is just his ability to change direction at such a high rate of speed. Like, he is able to cover so much ground going inside to outside without really slowing down and having to start back up again. And, he won that game last week when that was a dogfight against Arizona. And he came up with some big sacks and some big pressures late in that game to ultimately seal it. So he's been worth every penny. I know that the sack numbers aren't super high, but, you know, he makes an impact every single play he's out there. John, even, you know, just his presence. I remember being back at Lambeau in week one there when the Lions came to town, and you could just tell, like, it didn't matter who the Packers were playing that day, they weren't losing that game because the energy that was in the stadium, the energy that and the juice that the players had, just like kind of looking at the sideline, and every time Micah Parsons came into the game, like, you just felt that that was so contagious to the rest of the team. And I'm not saying that's wearing off, but I think that it elevates the level that everybody else around him plays at, because they see what type of special talent that they're with. So I think that Green Bay is, like, they're playing very similar to the Lions right now, where it's actually the defenses that are kind of keeping them in this. And, you know, hey, our offense is going to start clicking eventually, right? Like, let's just keep winning games. I don't care if it's by 1 point, 3 points, 30 points. Doesn't matter. Let's get the win. Let's figure some things out. I see a lot of similarities with how Green Bay and Detroit are playing right now.
Talking with TJ Lane, former Packers offensive lineman, on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. TJ, I'm a big, as John calls it, capital S, Roger Stan. So I got to ask this question, because you were in that locker room with him. You won big games with him. You blocked for him. You spent years there with him in Green Bay. What's one thing about him as a teammate or a leader that fans don't see on game days? We see a lot of negative opinions about Aaron Rodgers. John has spoken highly about him and said some of the same things that other players have said positively about him. But in your experience blocking for Aaron Rodgers, what's one thing about him as a teammate or a leader that fans don't get to see?
I mean, I don't know if fans never got to see this, but the ultra competitor and the high expectations certainly made a difference for a lot of us. And just like I was speaking of, you know, Micah Parsons making an impact and, you know, raising the competition, raising the bar for everybody else around him, that was same as Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it was almost a challenge where you didn't want to be that guy standing in front of the room where Aaron's calling out the signals and you don't know what you're doing, right? Or you're giving out wrong signals. And so it was almost a challenge week in, week out. I think with a lot of us, John included, was how can we find something to, you know, impress Aaron or something that Aaron hasn't found yet, right? Like, hey, let's go back and watch this third down from, you know, last season with this defensive coordinator. Okay, if we get this, right? And then you kind of challenge each other a little bit to ultimately be very well prepared. And I think that's what I took away from outside of, obviously, the skill that Aaron Rodgers had. The expectations, knowing how to prepare, knowing how to strive for perfection and not being satisfied with anything, you know, below that was an everlasting impact that he had on my career for sure. And playing with a guy like that, I mean, I haven't talked to Aaron in, you know, quite a few years now, but you always appreciate playing with guys like that that just challenge you and raise the bar and don't let you settle for, you know, anything lower than a very, very high expectation.
Teej, I saw this the other week. Yeah, the Lions come out, and you have a phenomenal first drive against the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, Jared Goff goes in motion, a beautiful trick play that only Dan Campbell-type teams make. Jared Goff double catches it, scores for touchdown, runs over a defender. It's a great start to a football game. And about 60 seconds later, all of a sudden, we find out that New York calls down and has a problem with it. And even though no ref threw a flag, they created a flag from New York. I've listened to some of your thoughts on this, and I want to know, do the Green Bay Packers get the benefit of the doubt on calls, and why are the Lions the bad boys that everybody's trying to take down?
Look, that was just a slippery slope because, and look, even like talking with some coaches last week, it's like maybe the referee, the side judge, you know, had told him something different than what happened. I just thought it was a slippery slope because, you know, if you're going to have referees that call down or New York calls down on every single missed call, like, I don't think that's a good precedent to set. You know what I mean? I don't think you want to score a touchdown and then a minute goes by and you say, actually, you know, it was determined that the left tackle was holding on that play. It's like, what? You didn't call it live. Like, why? You know what I mean? So I right call, wrong call. I just thought that that's just a slippery slope and a precedent that you don't want to set. And even, you know, I was asked about it last week when I'm on my radio show was, you know, hey, did Kansas City getting the benefit of the doubt and blah, blah, blah. And I said, look, I said, when we were in Green Bay, like, we felt like we, I'm not going to say the refs were blowing games for us, but yeah, we felt like we got the benefit sometimes, and I still feel that way. And I continued because I said we were nice to the referees. Mike McCarthy used to put up in a team meeting every single week who was reffing our games, what was their name, you know, what were their kids, like what is their job, what is their profession. And then you can kind of make it personable with the referees, right? Like we'd go out and tape TV timeouts, and yeah, I talk to the back judge. Hey, John, how's it going, man? How's, you know, what's the law office doing these days? You know, a guy that was a lawyer or something. And I would get the benefit because he would come up to me later in the game and say, hey, TJ, you know, be careful. I could have called you for that one, right? Next time I might have to call you. And it's like, okay, like that's not a big thing that they're favoring us. But, you know, when you get the benefit like that, I think I said because you treat the referees in a way that's respectful. And a lot of those guys, it's just human nature to say, like, okay, I really like that guy. Like, let me give him a warning instead of, you know, if you're just ripping the guy from the first play, it's like, okay, watch this. Every little thing you do, I'm going to be calling you for it. So that was what I was trying to say. Not that, you know, Green Bay was, we were always getting the benefit because certainly we didn't. And well, obviously, you know, the one that went against us in Seattle, that was a replacement ref. So we can't count that one.
Well, I think Pete Carroll and the Seahawks are just nicer to the refs than what we were. They were just buying them gifts before the games.
I'll tell you, it was impossible. But
edible fruit baskets.
The Lions, it was kind of funny because this past game, the Sunday night, there was some kind of similar things that happened against Kansas City that actually went the Lions' way. So I don't know if that was like, hey, guys, like we kind of effed up last week. Like, let's not do it again, because I don't know if you were watching, John, but Sunday night it was like, you know, after review, the call on the field stands. And then kind of the same thing, like 20 seconds goes by, and it's like, after a further look, actually, you know, and they changed the call that benefited the Lions. So
There's been some weird things that have happened the last couple weeks. And look, I say it all the time, too, is a lot of these don't happen in 1 o'clock games, right, because they're regional games. Not everybody's watching. But when you get those primetime games and Sunday nights and Monday nights, like, that's when I think that they try to really enforce things just to make sure they get it right because there's so many people watching. Now, do I agree with the kind of way that that has happened over the last couple games? No, I don't. But at the end of the day, like primetime games with 25 million people, they don't want to have much controversy, even though sometimes it actually creates controversy by trying to do the right thing. So,
all right, Teej, before we let you go, I'm going to put you on the spot. I want to have a little fun with you here. I want to take you back to your playing days. I'm going to give you the opportunity to build an all-time NFC North offense. It's got to be from your playing era. You got one quarterback, you get one running back, one receiver, and one offensive line, and I'll even toss in one fullback that you can throw on your team. Who you got?
I think there was only one fullback in the league when I was playing.
Damn. <that's>
convenient. When I was playing, okay, we're all assuming these guys were in their prime, correct?
Correct. We will assume they're all in their prime.
All right, let's start with running back. I mean, Adrian Peterson, obviously that guy was a freak in his prime. That's a pretty easy one, I would say. Quarterback, I mean, it's Aaron Rodgers by a landslide. I mean, I'm not picking Jay Cutler, you know.
I don't even know who Detroit had during those days.
Ponder. I mean, Stafford was.
That's true.
You know,
that's true.
Stafford's still playing, and he's legit, and he's, you know, he's a heck of a talent. But Aaron's just, you know, obviously one of the best. Wide receivers, let's see, Calvin Johnson. I mean, the guy's a Hall of Famer. He was incredible to watch, you know, even when we were on the sideline and just like, holy hell, what is this guy doing, man? Like, he was just such a freak. He was special. Who else wide receiver? Who did Chicago have? Green Bay. Look, I mean, Devontae in his prime was he's one of the best ever, too. I'd have to throw him in there. Did I only get two receivers?
Just one receiver. One.
Oh, just one receiver?
It's
I got to give it to Calvin Johnson, man.
Okay.
He's just a Hall of Famer, man. He was such a freak and, you know, career cut short, but he was a freak. Okay, let's go to fullback. Like I said, I think there was only one. So, you know, hey, give him my buddy compliments. You can throw Coon in there. And I get what? One offensive lineman?
That's where it's tough, right?
Oh, man. One old lineman. Bears, no. Vikings, yeah, they had Steve Hutchinson for a couple years,
they
I
did.
Think, when we played. He was a Hall of Famer. I'll tell you what, I'll go with my other buddy, Josh Sitton. I mean,
there
even though he made a couple Pro Bowls, couple All-Pros, still somehow an underrated guy. And he was just a pillar there for, you know, about the same time I was there in Green Bay, 8 or 9 years. And, yeah, he was one of the best, man, so. That's a heck of an offense right there, boys.
You'll make a hell of a GM one day, Teej.
That's a heck of.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. You just pick all pro, just pick all pros and Pro Bowls for every single position.
I would not have a fullback on my team in today's NFL. There are a lot of 11 and 12 personnel.
We got to do a lot of different things. Yeah, you got to be able to get out. Got to be able to catch the football now. All right, Teej, real quick, we got a break, but I want to. Who wins? Packers, Steelers.
Green Bay, they're just a better team. And, you know, like I said, I think the defense has been carrying them a little bit. I think this is a game where you go into prime time, your stars got to shine. I look at Josh Jacobs potentially having a big game. And
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I think Jordan Love and those receivers are going to start figuring out a little bit. And, man, I'll tell you what, I like Tucker Kraft a lot, too. That guy's a stud out there, tight end, blocking, catching the ball, what he does after the catch. I don't think it's going to be a super high-scoring game. I see Green Bay winning probably a 27-20 type of game, though. But, yeah, I think Packers get it done.
It's funny, 27. That's exactly what they've done in their four victories this year. And we'll see if the Green Bay Packers can do it again on Sunday. Teej, thanks so much. We know this is your week off, but any time spent here with you is a time spent well had. So we appreciate you coming on here today.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. Have a good rest of the week, all right?
TJ Lang, voice of the Lions Radio Network, calls those games out there in Detroit. Team, we're going to see on Thanksgiving. That's another big game. But the Packers' big game, that's this week. That's on Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll get more into that, some of your reaction to that game, to our Nooner poll. And are the Packers, are they really looking for a running back? That came up. That popped up. That's interesting. We'll get into all of that when we return. Stick around, 9 to noon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.